Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. In the countryside, there are fewer people, and some prefer it that way, especially thieves. The National Insurance Crime Bureau says that metal thefts have increased by 36% since 2010, and that leaves farm equipment and machinery as easy pickings. Reporting for Harvest Public Media, Payne Roberts has a story.
Mike Oberman first met Bruce Houston, a sergeant with the Missouri State Highway Patrol, earlier this year after his farm was burglarized. Today, the two are like old friends, sipping coffee and catching up about other metal thefts that have occurred since Houston last paid a visit.
Gardner boys, too, they got broke into, you know.
Who did?
Gardner's body shop out here.
Oh, yeah?
It was about a week after they got us.
Oberman owns a farm of row crops and cattle northwest of Windsor, Missouri, a rural town of 3,000 at the juncture of four counties. Windsor has been the victim of several metal thefts this year that have plagued farmers, construction companies, and body shops alike. When Oberman's farm was raided, he lost $500 to $600 worth of fencing material and an aluminum boat.
Been in the family for over 40 years. It's got a lot of memories with this boat.
Metal is a valuable commodity because of its untraceable nature and fast turnover. Thieves can steal metal items and sell them for cash at a recycling facility within hours of obtaining the property. Gary Bush is the director of metal theft prevention for the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries, a trade group that represents 1,600 scrap metal recyclers across the nation. He says anything that can be recycled in rural areas is being stolen.
Some people had an aluminum screened-in back porch, and they left for a few days, and somebody came and disassembled and took their aluminum screened porch.
Farm machinery like tractors are often targets for thieves as well. Missouri and Kansas are among the top states in the nation for farm machinery theft, according to the National Equipment Register, a company that tracks heavy farm and construction equipment thefts with data from the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Ryan Shepard is the president of the register.
Year upon year, roughly $1 billion of farm and construction equipment is stolen in the U.S. that's insured.
Equipment manufacturers like John Deere are responding by installing GPS systems into their equipment.
This is the 7200R, the smallest tractor of this series.
Chad Lyon is the store manager at the Heartland John Deere dealership in Centerview, Missouri. On larger equipment, his customers can buy JD Link. It's a GPS alert system that allows customers to set parameters on their property and time frames for when the machine should be used.
They can even identify who they want to be notified if the tractor is stolen or if it leaves a geofence or if it started outside of the predescribed time frame.
Large farm machinery has an advantage when it comes to identification, a serial number. But for the basic metal items, there's rarely a way to distinguish them. Sergeant Houston of the Missouri State Highway Patrol says this provides the most difficult task when trying to recover stolen items. And it provides leeway for those recyclers who willingly purchase stolen material.
I don't think they ask a lot of questions, and they don't want to.
Some states are asking more from recyclers when they purchase scrap metal. In Idaho, a new law requires recycling facilities to photograph individuals and their license plates when they sell scrap metal. On the home front, farmers should review their habits. According to Shepard, the number one mistake farmers make is leaving equipment exposed without protection, sometimes with the keys still inside.
If you had a classic car, a Mustang, a Porsche, you know, I don't think you would leave the keys in the front seat or in the ignition every night when you went to bed.
Once a farm is hit, Sergeant Houston says the thieves often return, so farmers should keep their guard up and keep the keys out of the ignition. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Payne Roberts.
Drive along Southeast Missouri's Highway VV in Mississippi County, and you'll primarily see vibrant green fields littered with farm equipment and the occasional farmer working the land. The burned-out remains of what was once a church stands century alongside the highway, just outside of what at first glance appears to be an ordinary rural community. But as Tamara Zeller's Buck reports, something seems out of place.
I'm standing on the parking lot of Union Baptist Church in Pinhook, Missouri. Like most rural churches, it's quiet and serene here, a natural sanctuary. But at this tiny bricked chapel, the walls are broken, the pews are missing, and weeds are overtaking the concrete lot. like the once close-knit community of Pinhook itself, the church, and its people, are gone.
I was concerned about the other school. They didn't have no place, you know.
That's 78-year-old George Williams, Pinhook's oldest resident. In 2011, Pinhook was sacrificed to the Mississippi River to save larger towns from rising floodwaters. The community's problem was that it sits in the Birds Point, New Madrid floodway, which was created as part of a federal flood risk management act to minimize loss of lives and property during historic floods.
They were scattered everywhere. They were in Charleston, Saxton, some of them was in Wyatt. Different place where they could find any place to stay, you know, they had to get out of there.
Some 35 Pinhook residents had less than a day to evacuate their homes when the Army Corps of Engineers intentionally breached the levee. All residents evacuated safely, but took very little property with them.
Everybody got along down there and everything. Everybody tried to keep the property up. And everybody had flowers and things there, and they put flowers down. And you could just walk from house to house and talk to people there in that project.
2 years later, Pinhook remains a ghost town. What the river didn't ruin, vandals destroyed by fire to gain access to copper and anything valuable. Residents are displaced and dissatisfied, but determined to put their community back together. The Village Board continues to meet monthly at a restaurant in Mississippi County to discuss how people are faring and what needs they have. Village Chairwoman Deborah Tarver says her people want to remain both physically and mentally close. To make this happen, they have worked with private, state, and federal agencies to obtain approval and funding for a government buyout. That's necessary because no homes can be insured or rebuilt in the floodway unless they are elevated 8 feet from the ground. The village submitted a community block development grant application to Missouri officials in March. If approved, Pinhook will be resettled outside of the floodway.
Pinhook will never die in my heart and in a lot of Pinhookians' heart. Officially on paper, it's still there until the state tells us it's not. So we're not giving up until they say it's not. And then probably we'll find a way to do something to try to get back together.
New Pinhook.
Right, and be Pinhook again.
Tarver wants residents to keep their spirits up until they can rebuild and regain that sense of home lost to the floodwaters. I'm Tamara Zellers-Buck.
That's all for Business Beat this week. You can find these stories at kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.